Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, can we do something? Could we give Jesus the biggest hallelujah? Thank you, God. We fix our eyes on you. We are so thankful for you. We honor you. We love you. We pursue you. We want to fall in love with you even more. We want to pursue you even more because it's in that place, Father, that we find everything we need. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being a lover of our souls. Thank you for being the accomplishment of our dreams. Thank you for being the fulfillment of our vision, your vision for us that exceeds anything we could ask, even imagine. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Carrie, did I tell you I had a dream one day about you and Mike? And I'm not kidding. I woke up. I'm not going to say what I saw in the dream, but anyway, it was good. Here is a couple, Mike and Carrie. To me, they're the epitome of what a godly, holy marriage is supposed to look like. And I'm so privileged and blessed, hallelujah, to call her not just a fellow minister, but my dear friend. And so this morning, like Carrie said, what I love ministering with Carrie is that, like she said, we don't talk to each other. We just know there is a theme. But as we minister one after the other, it's like building blocks. And we're like, oh my gosh, only God could do that. So I want you this morning to really come expecting to receive another layer of revelation. I love what Carrie shared this morning about the time is now. And you know, even let me put a little insert into that, because she used that analogy of a mirror. And you know, when you look, the word is the mirror, and the word is supposed to show you who you are, what you can do, and what you have. But you know, think about it. When this morning you got up and you look at yourself in the mirror, did it show you what you were going to look like in 10 years? Or did that mirror reveal to you how you used to look like when you were 5 years old? No. The mirror, why did God use that analogy of a mirror? Because the mirror shows you the now, here, now. And so they're so powerful. That is how you have to approach the Word of God and your Bible. And before I go a little further, I just want to make a little precision or a little, you know, tweak something, because this morning I woke up and I felt the Lord was telling me, you know how sometimes you can hear messages through certain filters and you hear something, and the number sometimes of people that come to me and says, oh, Audrey, you said this and this and this. And I'm like, I never said that. How did you hear that? You know, sometimes you can share something, and if somebody has a different filter or a certain filter, they will hear something else. So through what I said yesterday about pursuing God, and that sometimes if we become, you know, nonchalant in our relationship with God, kind of lukewarm, and we kind of take God for granted, like, well, he'll always be here for me. And we find out all of a sudden that we find our own heart is lost, that connection. Let me say and underline and precise. I did not say that you are losing your salvation. Did you hear me? Yes. It's on tape. It's recorded. I did not say that. I just said that you lose that God fire and connection. Your heart can become cold, and you are cheating yourself from everything God has for you. And so why do we want to pursue God and keep that fire and that zeal and that passion for him? Is because it's in that we find Oh, we find, we experience, we find that love and everything that God is and everything he has for us. So not pursuing Jesus with that zeal, that love, and that fire, we are cheating ourselves. And we are falling short, or we are not able to experience, because God, you know, is, like I said, he's a lover. And like any lover, when you love somebody, they come with everything. They come loaded. And the more we love God, the more we allow him to love us back. And when we don't passionately pursue God, we are cheating God from loving us. I'm going to say that again because it's kind of good. When we are not pursuing God, you know, and going after him, we are cheating God from being able to bless us, love us, and do so much in our life. That's his heart and his desire. And so we want to let him free. Amen. But this morning, as Carrie was talking about, the time is now. Hey, Julie, it's good to see you. Here's a mighty woman of God that is changing all of Congo. A heart, let me say, can I say something? If you want to, you know, God tells us to help the orphans and the poor. And that's really in the heart of God. And you want to hook up with the heart of God for the poor and the orphan. Go and see that. Do you have a booth out there? Where is it at? In the booth somewhere. Look for Julie Mapatano booth and go and hook up with what she's doing. And you'll hook up with the heart of God for the poor, the orphans, and the widows.
That's
right. Just saying. I hope I didn't embarrass you, but anyway, it's good. Hallelujah. The time is now. You see, I love what Carrie said, that sometimes we think it's going to be later. God is going to do it later. But now I want even to go one step further, is that sometimes we think that it's just God is going to do it all. Okay, silent in this Catholic church. So many times we are begging, asking, pleading, hoping, and trying to position ourselves, asking God to do something he told us to do. And there are some verses in the Bible that I really like, starting with Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Arise, shine." You know, we are called to shine. We are the church, the bride. Jesus is the sun. We are the moon. We reflect the sun. We are supposed to shine, all of us. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Women, mighty women of God, ninja warrior princesses of the Lord, we are called to be powerful instruments of God's glory in this time on the earth now. I mean, if you've heard Andrew, where God revealed to him that we have entered into a great awakening. And the great awakening is not going to happen through the people behind the pulpit. It's going to happen through you. Every one of you. But here is the thing. Oftentimes, we think, oh, great awakening of the glory of God, revival. And we have that notion that it is God that's going to initiate, or it's God that's going to do it. And here we stand and stay in a position being passive, waiting for something to happen. Now, we found out that it's supposed to happen now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of glory. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day that the Lord is going to shine through you. But you notice, today will be the day How? Because you got a hold of the truth and you decided to stop staying seated and waiting, and you're starting to look and rise up. You know, here, listen to those verses. In Romans 13, verse 11, he said, you know the times in which we are living. It's time for you to wake up. Our salvation is today. And he says our salvation is nearer now than when we first became believers. Ephesians 4:14 from the TLV tree, I think it's, here you go, TLV. Ephesians 4:14 says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. Did you see something here that God, again and again, he tells, rise up, wake up. Rise up from the dead. You know, it's telling us here to stop being seated, sleeping, passive, and to wake up. On those verses, somebody is sleeping, and I'm here to tell you it's not God. And why does it look like sometimes things are not happening in our life? Because we are seated waiting, or sleeping, or half dead, waiting for something to happen later, and God will do it. When in reality, it's like chess. It's like God is gonna move, and we saw that yesterday, that God is gonna move when we move our little thing. And as we start to take, to rise up, because like Carrie said, we know who we are. We are sons of God. And I have to tell you, in Romans chapter 8, it says all of creation is groaning, yearning to see the revelation of the sons of God. Can you imagine that all of creation is waiting for you and I to wake up, to rise up, and to move? To show who we really are. You're not just a nice little lady. You're not just a mama. You're not just a grandmama. You're not just a teacher. You're not just fill in the blank. You are a mighty son of God, a ninja, warrior, princess. Transformed by the power of God, and you've got all of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you. But it will be dormant if we stay seated waiting for God to do something, when in reality he's waiting for us to rise up, and then his glory will be manifested in our lives. We've got to get out of that place of waiting. We've been so long, so many in a waiting pattern. Waiting, like Carrie said, for later. Waiting for the breakthrough. Waiting for this and that. No, no, no. Today is the day of salvation. So if today is the day of salvation, I'm going to stop. Wake up, rise up, and say, okay, here I come. We saw yesterday that we all were born with a destiny on the inside of us. And that destiny will be released as we start getting a revelation that we are a son of God. We are a warrior. I love, there is a verse in Psalm 68. I think it's verse 11. It says, the company of women that preach the good news are a great army. We are called to be fighters. We are called to be warriors. We are called, every one of us, in our own way, with our own calling, with our own gifts. We are called to push the enemy lines, to bring on earth and manifest the glory of God, his presence, his goodness. And that's what I love when Moses asked God, I want to see your glory. God answered and he said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you, and I will declare my names. The names. I encourage you to go and get that book with the names of God, because God wants to declare those names in your own life to manifest his goodness in your own life, not only in your life, but through your life. So you become a sweet perfume. You become a manifestation, an expression of the love of God to others. Thank you. Here is a thing that Carrie said that the devil convinced people that the breakthrough, the whatever, the calling, it's going to be later. But I also know that the devil has convinced believers to remain passive and quiet. Because as long, you see, when God says, rise up, wake up, rise up from the dead, we see right here that we are asleep. And when you are asleep, that means you don't talk and you don't move. You don't do anything. And that is exactly what the devil is doing to many Christians. We've got the power on the inside. We've got the Trinity living on the inside. We are loved and we are beloved of God, his treasure, the pupil of his eyes. Amen. Filled with power. But yet, we are saying we don't talk about it. We don't do anything. We are asleep, quiet, and passive. We need to break that. And I love, you know, when the disciple, look at the early church. You know, when I want to know the will of God, when I want to know what it's supposed to look like, I go and look at Jesus. I go and look at the early church. And I see here, you know, because so many times people think, well, I'm not educated enough. I don't have enough of this or enough of that. I'm not any special. You know, let me tell you. You don't need nothing against high education, nothing against education if this is what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do to fulfill your call. Right. But just getting higher education just for the sake of it so that you can be somebody and do something. Nope. Thank you, Tracy. We see, you know, Peter and James, they started to change the world. And they spoke, they were bold, they were courageous, they stood up. And the Pharisees were amazed. They were like, wow, look at those guys. And they noticed that they had such courage and boldness, but yet they said they were untrained and uneducated. But they knew one thing, they had been with Jesus. Let it be said of us, not, oh, she's so educated. Like, again, I'm saying I don't have anything against, but, you know, if that's your excuse, like Carrie said, we've got so many excuses not to get up, rise up, and manifest God and move as a son of God. I remember for myself, I don't have higher education. And I remember when I was a young missionary, God would call me in hard-to-go places. I would go into the underground churches. I'd go in places, you know, dominated by Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, where women were pushed aside, not only but compressed, suppressed, oppressed, and disqualified. And here I'm coming, a little woman without a higher education. And I would sometimes be in front of crowds of pastors that had all kind of letters behind their names, you know, and I'd be like, I don't have a right to speak. I would disqualify myself from speaking out and standing up in my gifts and calling because I thought, I'm not qualified. I don't have those letters behind my name. And then one time I went to Burma. And I don't know, God has got a sense of humor. And I was in an underground school there with a bunch of hungry people in a little room that wanted to know more about God. And all of a sudden, the director of the school comes to me and gives me business cards. And I look at them, I'm like, okay, thank you. And I look, there's my logo. And then there is Audrey Mack. And then there is BA, PhD, master's. And I went, I'm like, no, wait, that's not true. I don't have all that. He said, Audrey, turn the card. I turned the card and he says, BA, born again, PhD, PhD, preaching, healing, and deliverance, masters, his name is Jesus. And at that moment, it settled something in my heart. I said, I don't have to got a bunch of letters behind my name to rise up, stand up, and manifest God's love to people. I'm saying all of that to say that whatever excuse you have, like Carrie was saying, not to rise up and start moving in the direction of your call and of your gifts and of the vision that God has for you, you've got to get those excuses out of the door. Because, you know, I was with Andrew the other day and he was asking me to share my testimony on truth and liberty. And then he asked me, said, Audrey, now, why? Because I'd be a single woman traveling by myself to some, you know, nations, dangerous nations, dominated with Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism, and all the isms. And Andrew says, Audrey, he said, did you ever wonder why God sent you to those places as a single woman? And I'm like, yes, Andrew, I asked God that same question. And you know what God told me? He said that God delights in using the foolish things of the world to confront the wise, the base things of the world to confront the exalted, and the weak things of this world to confront the strong. Because you see, when you choose to remove all those excuses out of the way, and you choose to start rising up and moving in the direction of that which God is calling you, then it gives God a great opportunity to shine through you. And the glory will not be yours. Your ability, your knowledge, your education, your smartness, and your beauty, it will be all about God. And that it takes place. So don't cheat God of his glory. The more obstacle you see in front of you, the greater the opportunity it is for you to rise up and manifest God. Because all of a sudden, like Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. So I delight in my weakness so that through my weakness, God can shine and manifest himself. So let us be women allowing God, however uneducated. And you know, I grew up in a family where I was the last of five kids, where my older sister was like the Indiana Jones of the family. She knew five languages. My brother was the superstar of soccer. He played professional soccer. And then I had my other sister. She was a genius. She had an IQ. She was the youngest judge, youngest woman. She was the youngest and the first woman to be admitted into a judge school high, you know, in France. And then there was the beauty of the family, blonde, blue eyes. And then there was me. And I was told that my sisters were smarter than me, therefore they would fail me in class. How does that make you feel? And then I was told, you don't know anything, you're too young to understand, be quiet, sit down. So I grew up always feeling I cannot talk, I cannot stand up, I cannot do anything. I was like always intimidated, afraid to speak, especially in front of strangers. And here I am. And I don't care. But how did that happen? Because I pursued Jesus with all of my heart. And I allowed him to transform me, to remove all the insecurity, all the excuses, and allow him to move in me and through me to manifest and show the world that the weakest, the base, the uneducated things of the world can manifest the power and the glory of God. So don't use any excuse. I'm not enough, or I'm too this, or I'm whatever words have been spoken over you through your childhood, through whatever situation. You've got to see those lies, expose those lies, and confront those lies. And how do you confront those lies? You rise up, believing who is on the inside of you, and you start moving forward. Showing every lie. And when you start rising up and going forward, confronting the obstacle, confronting the lies, they will fall off and lose their power over you. But you'll never know unless you rise up and you move forward and you confront every weakness, every obstacle, every lies. It starts with you. Thank you, Lord. I love that John 14. It says, Jesus said, the same work that he did, you, I call to do it also. And even greater work. We should take that seriously. But it's so easy to hear this verse and like, oh, yeah, the same work that you did, I'll do also greater work. And we let it just kind of slide over without realizing the depth of it, the strength of it, and the truth in it. That way, the same work that he did, I'm called to do even greater. And through my gifts, through the call you've put in on the inside of me, and through the talents you have given me, you can allow me to manifest you and do great works to change the very atmosphere and the very things around me. God wants to fill the whole earth with his glory, and you're part of it. However big your world is. It means we've got to recognize we've been silent too long. You know, because that's the... We are in a culture of political correctness where we don't want to offend, we don't want to stand up, we don't want to stand out. I grew up in socialism. And in socialism, don't you dare being different from the other. We were like one brick in the wall. You and I, my friend, we're not called to be a brick in the wall. We're called to be a stone cut by the hand of God in the temple of God. Your personality, talking about personality, for the longest time, I was ashamed of my personality, trying to suppress it and trying to, you know, because I read, you know, a woman should be, you know, gentle and soft and quiet. And here I am. And on top of that, I marry to the typical 1,000 Southern family, where women, they wake up with their hair all done and their eyelashes. Where they're very sweet, they never talk out of turn, always, yes, honey, everything in order, very, and here I come. And I thought for the longest time, trying to be somebody I was not called to be. Your personality is who you are. It's God's imprint upon your life. So instead of suppressing it, trying to change it because you're comparing yourself to somebody else, maybe you're comparing yourself to Miss Carrie, who is the perfect woman, by the way. Then you're like, if only I was like Miss Carrie, if only I was this. If, you know, some of you are so sweet, you're so gentle. you, Tracy. I told them yesterday they were afraid I would stand on the pulpit, so they changed the pulpit. So you can see what the Holy Spirit can do in somebody that just says, yes, Lord, when I'm weak, you can be strong. When I think I'm not smart enough, you can be so, make me look so smart. It's just a matter of yielding. It's just a matter of choosing to stand up and confront and push against the lies and the excuses. And so where was I at before I got so... Personality. Thank you, sister. I used to fight against my personality because I thought that as a godly woman, I was supposed to be quiet, gentle, submissive, and just kind of effaced and not present, you know, kind of in the shadow. And then God rebuked me one day and says, Audrey, if I wanted you to be that way, I would have made you that way.
Yes.
I made you that way because through this, your personality, with my anointing and my power, I can show the world one facet of who I am. So the world can see God through every one of your personality. So stop trying to change it. Stop trying to erase it and suppress it. Start embracing it. Start celebrating who you are and who God is in you so he can be through you. While keeping the balance of the Holy Spirit, rounding off the sharp angles, you know what I mean? Because every strength, if taken to an extreme, can become a weakness. But anyway, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So that means for some of us, we need courage. We need boldness to step out and to push against the lies, the insecurity, the excuses. To rise up and start going in the direction of your calling, of your gifts. And you know, you said, but how do I know my gifts, my calling? Well, we saw yesterday that as you pursue Jesus more than anything, you'll find yourself in him. You'll find your calling. You know, I was sharing yesterday about how I just got saved as a little heathen in the south of France. You know, was hanging out with the drug dealers, the prostitute, the pimps, the mafia, and so on. And then, you know, got saved. And then God told me to move to the United States. I didn't know anybody. I just obeyed and went. Sometimes that's all we have to do, hear and obey and trust him with the how. And as I did that, I found in pursuing him, I found who I am as a child of God. And God made sure my calling came to pass, that I found what I was born to, that vision that I had as a five-year-old child, that I'm going to travel all over the world, but I'm not going to be a tourist. That came to pass in pursuing God and allowing him to change me and to remove the insecurity, the impossibility, the obstacles, and the excuses. I just kept pursuing God. But I know also one thing, that as I started to pursue God and I found myself in him, I started to have some strong desires. I mean, I had them when I was 5 years old. I didn't understand. But as I pursued God, all of a sudden, it was getting more and more evident that I was called to travel and that I was called to preach. And as I started to see that, I started pursuing that. And so I want to say this morning, as all of a sudden, as you pursue Jesus, there will be strong desires rising up in your heart. You all have read that verse in, I think it's Psalm 37, verse 4, that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I would like to even say he will place you his desires in your heart, because your heart is his. You've given yourself wholeheartedly to him, and he can trust you to put his desires in your heart. And those desires, it's like a true north. It's like a compass that sends you in the right direction. And as I sensed that, you know what I had to do? I had to rise up and move forward. I remember when I knew I was called to be a missionary, and I remember I did a special mission training where we did like boot camp and preparing us for all kind of stuff. But I remember I was at home waiting for God to write on the wall, thou shalt go to such and such a place. Some of you are there waiting. And I was waiting, and thank God, a good friend of mine called me and says, Audrey, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting for God to show me what to do. And he says, God has already showed you. I'm like, he has? He said, yeah, he told you to go into all the world. Aren't you called to be a missionary? I said, yes, I know that, but I don't know the specifics. I don't know the what, the where, the how. He said, just start moving. Start getting up and moving in a direction. And he asked me a question. He said, what is easier to move? A car that is on park, or a car that is slowly moving? I understood what he was saying. Because if so many of us, we are on park, waiting for God to do something. When in reality, if you have that desire in your heart, which is God's desire for your life, it's like a little indication of your call, your gifts. And you start moving in that direction, then things are going to start unfolding. So that's what I did. I called a mission department of our church, asking them. I said, do you know some of your schools around? Do they need help? Why? Where do you need the most help? And they said, oh, Albania just opened up. It had been under dictatorship. Nobody got in, nobody got out. And they said, they're just a very small team. I think there were like a couple of two or three people in the team. And I said, they are so bombarded. There's so much to do and not enough people. They need help. So I'm like, okay. But here is a key. I started going, getting up and going toward this direction, little by little, on slow speed, while listening to the Spirit of God on the inside. And the Bible says that he bears witness of the truth. He bears witness of the will of God with the peace of God that passes understanding, the inward witness in our spirit. So I contacted that mission base in Albania saying, do you need help? They said, please, desperately come. And so I heard one step forward. My next step is I gave them, I said, I'll come for 3 months. I didn't promise 10 years. I said, I'm going slowly towards that direction. The most important was for me to rise up and move forward into that which was on the inside. I ended up in Albania and ended up staying almost a year. But from that place, the next step came. And from that place, the next came. And the next step, and the next step. The important was to rise up and start moving forward and get out of that passive waiting pattern, waiting for God to do something. And as I did, you know, and I've discovered something. That as we start, I love it, that Jesus, you know what he did? Jesus, his motto or his motive, or he was to, Acts 10:38, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good. You see, it is not so much about fulfilling the call or accomplishing the vision. It is about getting up, moving forward to do good. find places to do good. And something happened, the word says, that as we start to rise up, to move forward, and to seek to be a blessing, to do good, your gifts will become evident and will make room for you. But if you're waiting for something to happen, there is nothing with which God can work with. Did you notice that every person that was called, that was anointed, that was separated unto the call of God, the people that changed the world were people that were just getting up and doing something with whatever. God never called people that were rolling their thumbs. God never promoted people that were just there, I'll wait for the big breakthrough. No, gotta get up, move forward, following that inner desire, because after all, you've pursued God, Him, your lover, allowing Him to love you back. And in there, He's putting His desires, His passion for you. And as you recognize it and you get up and you move forward towards it, then your gifts, your talents, who you are, your calling start unfolding, manifesting. The important thing is to get out of that place of passivity, that waiting pattern. Hallelujah. And you know one thing that I have understood is that at the beginning of your calling, and when you say calling, I'm not talking about fivefold ministry. We all have a calling. That looks different, that sounds different, that has in it your gifts, your talent, your personality, what makes you who you are in your sphere of influence, however small or however big it is. But it's in that place at the beginning, as you just choose to get up and move forward, to do good, to be a blessing, things start unfolding, becoming clearer and clearer, because at the beginning, God will allow you to do a whole lot of things to find and to define who you are. When I started in the ministry, I did just about anything and everything. They even asked me to lead worship. Imagine that. I did street ministry, teaching in Bible school, evangelism, you know, evangelics campaign. I even did, even that, I just did some, you know, even we went into the mountain, into the villages to preach the gospel. I did anything and everything that needed to be done. And there was a grace, there was a liberty. But as I kept moving forward, it's like I call it the triangle. As you start moving forward into that those things, it becomes more and more narrower. Which means that God is defining you more and more to the point where you see that triangle, to the point where all of a sudden the freedom that you had here is no longer there. You've got to stay within those gifts, those talents, the calling that God has for you. So you see, as an example for me, now I used to be invited to do mass evangelism campaign. I don't do them anymore. I get invited in some places in Africa, in India, in Pakistan, and I've got to turn it down. Why? Because now, as I move forward into my gifts and calling and what God has created me to do and to be, it's becoming more and more evident that I'm not called to be an evangelist. Uh-huh. I'm called to be a preacher. You're like, preacher? What is a preacher? A preacher is a teacher that will teach you while preaching. A teacher teaches to bring maturity. A preacher preaches to inspire, to get you to rise up and move. To inspire you to be everything you're supposed to be. So I do the two. So, but now, I cannot do evangelism explode or campaign. I don't. You see, the vision gets more defined. Because as I move forward while keeping that relationship with God, it defines more and more who I am and what God has called me to do. And if I stay with that, this, it's a secure place. It's a place of grace. It's a place of rest where there is no striving, where there is no trying, because it's that place that is created for me. It's an easy place. It's a good place. It's a pleasureful, a pleasing place. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you find yourself striving, frustrated, and knocking your head against the wall, you are out of that place. Selah. Amen. But in the few minutes that I have left, as you are pursuing your call and your gifts and the call, that vision that God has for you, you see that call that has been put in you, in your spirit, before the foundation of the world. As you go and move into that, there is one thing that you must never, never, never forget. Never. Can you repeat after me? Never.
Never.
Is to love people. Love God and love people. Because as you start getting into your calls, your gifting, you know, and things happening in your life, it is easy to lose the number one vision, our number one calling, which is loving God and loving people. And what we do, whatever it is that we do, it is to love people. That means that you and I, I remember sitting under Kenneth E. Hagin, and he said that, and I kept it in my heart and treasured it, because he said, your character will keep you where your gifts will take you. What he meant by that is that we pursue the call and we pursue into accomplishing that high calling and that those gifts that God has placed in us. It is easy all of a sudden to let the vision take the forefront. Amen. And we can start becoming somebody and put that vision over everything else. But if we work on our character development, it's called the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. If we, you know, I love that Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 was talking about the gifts. Then in 1 Corinthians 14, he was talking more about the gifts of the Spirit. But in between chapter 12 and chapter 14 is found 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter. What is the point that Paul was trying to bring across? That if he says, seek, desire spiritual gift, but pursue love. He said, I'll show you a more excellent way. Pursue love. And what he's saying, there is a call. There is a vision. There is an anointing. There is a destiny within you. But we must never, never, never forget to be somebody known because we do good and we love God and we love people and the rest will follow. I cannot tell you the number of people that love crowds. They love crowds, but they don't like people. It's easy to become that. That the call, the vision, the destiny becomes our end goal. And in the process, we compromise our own character, the character of God in us. But if we make that our number one, she said, I'm going to love God. And as I love God and pursue him and continue to pursue him, he's doing something in me. He's developing the fruit of the Spirit in me. He's developing godly character in me. Hallelujah. And wherever my gifts are taking me, I'll be there and I'll stay there and I'll still be there tomorrow. I won't be like a shining star that shoots off one day and just crashes the next day. So as we We go back. Did you notice we do full circle again? We started yesterday talking about pursuing God. But even in our pursuing God, when we start discovering who we are and what God has called us to do, we continue loving Him. And as we love Him, we can help but do good and loving people. That's why I so appreciate Miss Elizabeth. I don't know her personally. That's too bad. I wish I'd live close. I'd be holding your bag everywhere. But there's one thing I can tell. Spirit, yes. Deep things call unto deep. Right. There is something about this woman. So I really want to encourage you, for those of you who don't know her, I want you to open your heart to her, because there is depth and riches of the love for Jesus and love for people that is waiting to be poured out onto you. So that what I'm sharing today, I know in whichever form she's going to share it. Because love's got different faces. Sometimes love's going to comfort you, lift you up, encourage you. And sometimes love will give you a little spanking. It's all love. But that woman is a woman of love, like Miss Carrie is. That's what this ministry, it's a ministry of love. And so I really want to encourage you. And I bless you in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you not to sit and wait for something to happen, but be the someone that happens. And it starts by getting up and moving forward. And as you move forward, things unfold. God bless you.